Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, back with episode 27. Man, I've taken a couple weeks off. I've been under some heavy studying and growing myself and stretching myself. I feel like I'm in school all over again. But for this new season, this new season that I'm in and where God has taken me, I'm super excited. I'm super pumped. I have an understanding and knowledge about myself that I have never had, man. And everything that I'm learning, the things that God is teaching me, I'm going to be able to apply this at a level that is, magnificent. I can't even comprehend. God keeps showing me in vision and in spirit and in truth. But I know that I know that I know that God is going to do something amazing with all the things that he's given me in the tools that he's given me to be able to go and teach his word across the world, to be able to minister to those who are hurting and broken and want to make the best out of themselves. Man, God is really opening the door for that. Man, I'm super excited. So more things to come on that. If you've been following me on Facebook, you guys have caught up with the videos. And because I have not recorded a podcast or have not been in recording them as frequently, I should say, I've been trying to be more active on Facebook so you guys can still keep up to date with what's going on. A couple weeks ago I put out a video talking about the book that is to be released. I am almost done writing the book. I'm super excited about that. It is almost in the finish stages so that it can be submitted to a publisher. So round of applause for me. If you don't clap for me, I'm gonna clap for myself. That's a big and huge accomplishment. The book is called Fractured, and it speaks on it. It starts off dealing with the last 2 years of my life, the last 2 years, because this has been pretty much the hardest season that I've been in my life. However, I do open the entire book up to myself and how the last 2 years gave me the insight and direction that I needed to go to make some changes in my life and the choices that I've made. It talks about the ups and downs. It talks about my wrong decisions, my terrible conscious decisions. So it does explain both the light and the darkness, man. This book that I'm writing, I really wanted to make sure that I didn't want a fluffy book. I didn't want a fluffy, feel-good Christian book that only talked about scripture but never really addressed the real problems that we as people go through. I didn't want to leave out the real battles that go on within our mind and within our hearts, because that's doing the reader such an injustice when we do that. So if you get the book, understand it's deep. It's going to challenge you to transform and change yourself. It's going to challenge you to make some tough decisions and weed out some things in your life that shouldn't be there, to make some choices that that could be detrimental to relationships, not in a negative way, but for you to operate at your fullest capacity. This book is out there, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope it does something for you. I hope it does as much for you as it did for me in writing it, because it was a huge healing process for myself. So, shameless plug there. But anyway, you guys know, I always tell you guys, if you want to support the podcast, you can donate by doing $NoChainsOnMe with a Z. That's $NoChainsOnMe with a Z through Cash App. Or you guys can go to anchor.fm/unchain and you can choose a monthly contribution, which is either $1, $5, or $10. It is what it is. If this feeds you, great. I hope you do. If not, so be it. I hope this word makes a deposit into your life and into your heart and into your spirit. So with that being said, I was in thought one day, and with all the training that I've been into and with all the tutelage that I've been under and this new season of my life, I've had the privilege to work with some very great and powerful mentors, a speaking coach and, two very, very, well-rounded and intelligent doctors. These guys not only have poured into my life knowledge-wise, but spiritually, man, and that's priceless. So thank God for these men who've taken the time out of their schedules to do this for me, because they have challenged me to think in a way that has been unreal and phenomenal. And with what they have given me, I have been able to impart to others. And I see change within the same changes in them that I am receiving within myself, man. And that's powerful, man. So glory to God for what he's done. Glory to God for the path that he has set me on. So even when I didn't know, he knew where I would end up, right? So, but in my reflection, you know, again, I always talk about the podcasts that I give you guys. They're not from me trying to feed you guys, but from a level of understanding from where I go into study to feed myself. And so I like to close my eyes and think what the word means, how it comes to life, what it's going to do within my spirit. I like to, you know, think on those things because I want to let God change me. I want to surrender. I don't want to hold on to my idea of faith. I don't want to hold on to my idea of wholeness or completeness, especially if it contradicts what he says about me to be true. Because we as humans have the tendency to believe things about ourselves that are not true. And so that's why I titled this podcast Awareness, because the past, you know, 6 or 7 weeks or so has been all about self-awareness for me. In life, we get trapped in the dichotomy of where we are and where we want to go. The gap between where we are currently and where we wish to be. Where we wish to be is a it's a piece of a vision that God has set us up for in life. He wants us to experience the best and be able to experience his love and greatness and mercy and his promises on such a marvelous level. The discomfort comes and the negative thoughts come when we see where we are and it's in great contrast to where we want to go. It creates some dis-ease, I should say, in our spirits, because we want to live a life that is promising and fulfilling. And we have these thoughts of experiencing life at such a level that is, you know, rewarding. And we want to be able to experience, you know, different places, different cultures. We want, you know, money to be able to spend without being stressed. We want a car that doesn't break down. We want jobs that are fulfilling. We want to do something with purpose. We want our kids to have the best. And although we want all these things, we see ourselves in a position to where we can't make it happen. So even when you become aware of your possibilities and capabilities and who you are, there's more stress to be added internally because you're unclear of how to get there. You see it within yourself, but you often find the struggle of trying to bring it to surface or operate in the gift that God has put in you. So it's one thing to know it and understand it. It's another thing to be able to walk in it without the confrontation of the self-doubt, the self-loathing, the hurt that comes along with it, the feeling of inadequacy, the feeling of not being chosen or prepared or useful, the doubts and the fears and anxiety that come along with, you know, being, I guess, unsuccessful, I should say, or in such a way. And there's a way that, you know, God wants to reveal himself within us and through us, but we have to be, diligent in pursuing the things of God and pursuing our true identity in Christ so that it may come to the surface and we can operate the way God says that we can operate. So again, like I said, I titled this podcast Awareness, and I got this title because it came out of 1 Timothy. Okay, it came out of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. And I'm going to explain this in a teaching fashion because I want you to understand it to where it's digestible and you can actually partake in what Paul is trying to say here in this letter to Timothy. And so this is translated to Timothy Responsibility, the subtitle in this text. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. But before we do that, I just want to, you know what, let me go ahead and read the verse and then I'll pray for you guys. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, it says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Okay. The whole thing about awareness that I got out of this, I remember in playing sports, you know, especially football, there is a level of awareness that you have to have. Now, it's great to be athletic. It's great to be fast, strong, elusive, powerful. It's great to have all these physical attributes, but without awareness, an athlete can't be to his full capability. It's awareness that allows allows an athlete to utilize his physical capabilities in the best manner, right? If I am physically strong, if I'm powerful, if I'm shifty, if I can, you know, throw stiff arms, if I can lower my shoulder and run through a defender, it's awesome that I can do those things. But if I am unaware of what down it is on the football field, if I'm unaware that I have to get the first down, if I am unaware of the time on the clock that my gifts and talents and all the effort I put into being a great athlete is useless. Okay. And so that's one of the things that, you know, really organizations look for. Not only is the athlete good enough, strong enough, have all the tools, but one of the main tools that organizations look for or teams look for is how aware is this person on the field. Awareness is key. Just as important in your awareness in your walk with Christ. So Paul is giving Timothy, he's giving him some tools for awareness. He's saying, based on the instructions for you that I gave you earlier, or based on these instructions, according to the prophetic words that I spoke to you earlier or about you earlier, he says, may they help you fight well. You need to be aware that you're in a fight, and you need to be aware that there's a battle going on. And so he urges him. He says, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. So if we have to back that up, like, what prophetic words was Paul talking about Timothy earlier? Well, if you back up and go to verse 5 in this chapter, okay, so 1 Timothy verse 5, here's the beginning of these prophetic words that he spoke about Timothy earlier. He says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Okay, he says, be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. I'm going to say that again. A pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. Because there is a love that can come from a corrupt heart. Some people have a very twisted or skewed idea of what love actually is. Some people will stay in abusive relationships because that is their skewed or perverted, perception of love. Okay. Some people have a very unclear understanding of what love truly is. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 gives a very great definition about what love is. He says, be filled with love that comes from a pure heart. Okay. That means the things. And again, you guys hear me say this all the time, that heart in the Greek means mind. Okay. It means mind. Be filled with love that comes from a pure mind, which means it's hard to love somebody when you listen to very vulgar music, disgusting music, because your mind is not pure. It has been tainted with, ideologies and perceptions of the outside world that is in direct contradiction to how Christ tells us to live. Oh, Keelan, you're super spiritual. I promise you, it's only a matter of time before you start mimicking that which you watch and listen to. So he says, be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, i.e. mind. okay, comes from a pure mind, a clear conscience, okay? And we'll discuss what conscience is here in just a minute. And then he says, and of genuine faith. So don't borrow someone else's faith. Let your faith in that which you believe be genuine. What is the relationship between you and Christ based upon your personal experience? I believe everybody has a unique experience with Christ, where he saved you from, how he delivered you, how he changed your life, how he healed your mind, how he turned you from your wicked ways, how he helped you get rid of a lot of these things in your spirit that should not have been there, how he used you to break generational curses over over your family. Okay, what is the experience that you know through Christ that has changed you for the better? Genuine faith. It's not borrowed, it's not given, it's not how someone else says you should serve or live for God. It is through your personal revelation of who God is. That's genuine, right? You cannot love your wife or your husband based upon somebody else's idea of them. That's not genuine love. What is your experience with your spouse? What is your experience with your best friend? You cannot borrow the idea or ideologies of someone else to make a personal relationship relevant. Those kind of relationships cannot bear fruit. So what I mean by that is, if you're going to tell me you love me, you can't love me based upon someone else's idea of me. It has to be genuine and it has to come from you, right? Like if your mom ever told you to apologize to somebody because of something that you did, and you only did it because she told you to do it, that wasn't genuine. You were forced to do it, right? However, let's talk about verse 19, because this is where it gets personal, right? He says, "Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear." All right, let's deal with that. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. So that word, so Paul's giving two instructions right there. He says, cling. That's instruction number one, right? Don't let anybody take your faith in Christ from you. Cling to it. Cling means to hold tightly. Hold on to it with a death grip. Don't let anything that you come in contact with, the people you talk to, what somebody else says about God, don't let anybody take it from you. Cling to your faith in Christ no matter what. No matter what, no matter who says what, no matter how you're treated, no matter what you go through, cling to your faith in Christ. Your faith in Christ cannot be determined or broken by outside influences. Cling to it, right? So this is what Paul meant by genuine faith. When you have a personal relationship with God, there's nothing in this world that can break the grip off your faith with Christ, or in Christ. Nothing or no one can break that grip or that relationship. This is why your faith must be pure and genuine. This is why you should be filled with a pure mind. Because if your idea of Christ or Jesus comes from the world, it's very easy to let go of your faith. All right. So Paul, this is why he says, the words I spoke to you earlier, they have a purpose. So your ability to cling to your faith in Christ, it comes from a pure mind, a pure mind. Right. The genuine faith can only be obtained through what you've learned about Christ personally. This allows you to cling to your faith in Christ. Then he gives another instruction. He says, keep your conscience clear. Keep it clear. Keep means to remain or possess. Remain or possess. I like remain better. Okay. I like remain better, actually. So then let's move on to this word, conscious, which the Latin word, it has two parts. Con means with or thoroughly. Seer or science means to know or have knowledge of. Right. So in other words, Paul is saying, hold tightly to the anointed Messiah Jesus and remain. Means to stay. All right. Stay, remain in a clear understanding. Right. Clear understanding. The other word for conscience is self-awareness. Self-awareness. Okay. So hold tightly to the anointed Messiah Jesus and stay or remain in a clear understanding of who you are in Christ. I'm going to say that again. In other words, Paul is saying, hold tightly to the anointed Messiah Jesus and remain in a clear understanding of self-awareness, who you know yourself to be in Christ. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. Keep your self-awareness clear. Keep what God says about you to be true. Keep it clear. Do not allow it to be distorted. This is why he says, cling to your faith in Christ, because it reveals ultimately who you are as a person. It reveals ultimately what you're able to do through Christ. It reveals ultimately the power that lies within you by holding on to your faith in Christ. This is why it says in John chapter 15, he says, remain in me. Remain in me so that you may bear much fruit. You can only do the things that God wants to do in you and through you by holding tightly, by clinging to your faith, by holding on to Christ, by holding on to the anointed Messiah, Jesus. By doing so, he says, stay, remain in clear self-awareness. Keep your conscience clear. Here's the warning. He says, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. This is the second part of verse 19. He says, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith have been shipwrecked. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about a personal experience that you're going to read in my book anyway. I'm not going to give it all to you because then you won't buy the book. All right. This word deliberately violated their consciousness. This hit me like a ton of bricks. This broke me in study. Because in my self-discovery and what I've been doing in self-awareness, the exercise that I've been doing and trying to fully walk in my gift and bring it to the surface so that I may be used to my maximum capacity for the kingdom of God. In order to do that, you must be 100% honest and true about the things that have come to light in your life. Your relationships, broken relationships, heartbreak, anything that has happened in your life, there's a reason why it happened. So without getting too far into it or too deep into it, I should say, and not getting off topic, I consciously chose darkness over light. That was the revelation that God gave to me. Things are the way they are or go the way they go because, Keelan, you consciously choose that which is opposed to me. You consciously choose things that are not that are against the word of God. You have consciously made decisions and that ultimately change the course or the trajectory of the path that I have you walking on. You're not where you are in life because of the choice that you make. And this is true for everybody else. So I don't have a problem saying it. Everybody who walks around is like, oh no, I'm good. I'm fine. Things are great. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But their life does not reflect the fruit of how God says we ought to operate or how we should live. There's something going on there. I'm just one of the few who are bold enough to admit it and say it with conviction so that I surrender my idea of how I think I should operate, right? So Paul is saying for some people have deliberately violated their consciousness, okay? Now, what does that mean? So that phrase deliberately violated, right? That word deliberately means done with intent. Okay. Done with a set purpose is what deliberately means. Done with intent and or with a set purpose. To have taken careful consideration, which means you have carefully considered the repercussions that come from making this choice and you did it anyway. Right? The word violated, to break an oath, to treat with dishonor, violence, or outrage. I'm going to say that again. To break an oath, to treat with dishonor, violence, or outrage. So in other words, Paul says, people were intentionally violent toward themselves in thought. They were violent toward their character of awareness or their God character, right? What God had revealed to them, what lies within them, they were intentionally violent toward that in thought, right? They were violent toward themselves and what they thought about themselves. So the person who always has something negative to say about themselves, it's deliberate. You poison yourself with what you say to yourself, right? So even when you get an understanding of what the Bible says about you to be true, okay, you then break an oath with your faith in Christ to make this choice and say the things that you say to yourself, right? You took a calculated, careful, considerate, conscious effort to treat yourself with dishonor. Let that sink in for a minute. God has told you that you are head and not the tail. God has told you that you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Jesus told you that he didn't come to condemn you, but to save you. The word of God says that his blood was shed for you. Right? That Jesus was sacrificed so you would have everlasting life. God did this so that you can be in partnership and unison and in relationship with him by his sacrifice. And through that, Jesus also said that you would be able to do the same works that he did, but even greater. The same power that Jesus operated in this earth, the power of God, the healing of the sick, raising the dead. Jesus says you could do these very same things, but even greater. To know that you have that kind of ability, talent, power, and you have this kind of connection with God. You have this kind of connection from the source of all life. You have this kind of connection to be able to, and I use this for lack of better words, but bend the universe to the will or purpose of God. To be able to go and help and save and change lives across the world. You have that ability, but you deliberately violated yourself in thought. The conscious awareness that you have about yourself and who you are. See, most of us come into this life and we are very, we are dumbfounded in the area of who we really are. We perceive that we are a human being and all these humans are running around trying to find a spiritual experience. You're trying to find a spiritual experience. So what you do is you turn on praise and worship to find a spiritual experience. You go to church to get a spiritual experience and you try to hook up with people who are spiritual to find a spiritual experience. And that is wrong. Why? Because what the Bible clearly tells us, if you read it, is that you are a spirit. So you don't have to search for spirituality because you are a spirit. You live in a body, right? In a shell, and you have an intellect. You have an intellect. That means you have a sum of cognitive faculties. Intellect it's a word that not very many people understand. Is not necessarily the same as, you know, knowledge. Is more of we say things like you know, knowledge or wisdom. That is a byproduct of intellect. Okay, so when I say that you're a spirit, you live in a body, and you have, and I say that you have an intellect, this means that you have a very high, you know, powerful ability to reason and understand things objectively, especially in regard to abstract or academic matters. But if you dig deeper, you have mental power that comes from God that allows you to shape the reality in which you live. Now, I don't want to get into that very deep, but understand that this intellect that you have or are born with, it is in very close connection with God. As a matter of fact, most people experience it all the time, but have no clue what it is. People refer to it as the gut or intuition or instinct. That's a very small tip of the iceberg. Very small tip of it. Right? So I'm sorry for the small pause and delay in trying to formulate those thoughts, but I promise you, you are more powerful than what you perceive yourself to be. And for the people or the person who gets trapped in negative thinking, this is a deliberate violation in that which God is calling you to do or how to think. Paul says you are deliberately violating your conscience, your self-awareness. And as a result, your faith is shipwrecked. So which means it's very easy for you to go back to the lifestyle that you've been praying to get out of. Very easy for you to go back into pornography, or infidelity, or sexual immorality, or start to dabble in alcoholism or smoking marijuana, whatever it is that you do. Very easy to go back into those things because your faith is shipwrecked. To shipwreck means for a ship to be sunken or damaged because of an interaction that it had with some kind of, an outside force. Maybe it was shot down or hit a big rock or something. But initially, if your faith is a ship and it comes into contact with something that disrupts the flow or the path, if you're not clinging onto your faith, then your faith becomes scattered. It's broken up. It's all over the place, or it is sunken somewhere. And it's very hard to put it back together or to bring it to surface once it starts sinking. Very hard to go and get all the pieces of your ship once it's scattered along the water. Almost impossible. So when you begin to dabble in violating your conscience, going against your God nature to do something you know is wrong, but yet you do it anyway, forfeiting the glory or power of God within you for temporary satisfaction, it shipwrecks your faith. To talk against the things that God is trying to bring up in you for you to be powerful and go and you know, do his part in being his extension of his hands across the world, it shipwrecks your faith. Puts you in a position to feel burdened or broken or depressed or, you know, stay stagnant in anxiety and always be in fight or flight mode. Never really being able to experience true happiness because all of your experience is based upon the fact that you don't know how to get out of where you are because of how you talk to yourself, deliberately violate, talk down to, talk bad about. So Timothy is being forewarned. Cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. Do all that you can, Timothy, to hold on to Christ. Do all that you can to hold on to that genuine relationship. Do all that you can to serve him with a pure heart. Be filled with pure love that comes from a pure heart. Don't let outside influences get into your mind and take you away from God. Hold on to it, Timothy, with all you can. There are false teachers out here. There are people who really don't believe the Bible as it is, and they give you their perception of what the Bible means. They feed you an idea. Make sure you understand the word of God for yourself. Please don't take anybody else's word for it. Don't even take my word for it. Learn who Christ is for yourself and hold on to that. Because the moment you seek out to know him intimately and personally, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can take away your personal experience with God. This is why he says it must be genuine. It must come from a pure heart. Must come from a pure mind. You must love him purely in all that you do. This keeps your faith genuine. Cling to God. Keep your conscience clear. No skewed or perverted provisions about yourself. Get those out of the way. Because as you think those things about yourself, you're also thinking those things about Christ. Because Christ lives in you. God lives in you. You are made in the image of God. So anything that contradicts what God's image is, it's a lie. If you see yourself as broken or hurting or damaged, that's a lie. The God essence about you cannot be broken. God does not make imperfection. The God essence about you is pure. It cannot be distorted or skewed. So the only thing that changes what you look like in your eyes is what is in your mind, is what is in your heart. Keep your conscience clear so that you are in clear self-awareness, understanding and knowing who you are in God's nature, what he intended you to be. But as long as you don't take the time to get to know him personally and intimately, as long as your job takes number one, as long as your relationships take number one, as long as what you went through takes number one, as long as your kids take number one, as long as money takes number one, you will never, ever, ever see yourself the way God sees you. And you will be condemned to live in a lack and subpar life. It can be no other way. You cannot live in the fullness of God, but you think of yourself as less than what he created you. Your wants and expectations in life, they only match your level of belief. They only match how you see yourself. If you're in an unfulfilling relationship, it's because it's how you see yourself. If it's easy for people to cheat on you, it's because of how you see yourself. If it's easy for people to walk out of your life, it is because of how you see yourself. If you feel unsuccessful, unworthy, it is because of how you see yourself. It can be no other way. And as you study the Word of God and you hear the Word of God and you begin to let the Word come to life, it tells you exactly what I just said. Whatever situation you're in, whatever fruit that you see, if you're not in the house you want to be in, if you're not in the car that you want to drive, it is because of how you see yourself. If you clear your conscience, your life changes. If you purify your mind, your life changes. God will not compete with number one in your life. He won't do it. If he has to make you put him number one, then it's not real love, right? If you have to force me to love you, then I don't really love you. I'm doing it because you told me to, right? So that's all I got for you guys this morning. That's all I got for you. But I hope and I pray that this word, again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, and the supporting verses, verse 5, right? I want you guys to let that sink in, right? And this is one of those teaching podcasts. So rewind it, take some notes, and, you know, start to examine the fruit in your life. Start to examine what's going on in your life and you know, compare that. Compare your thoughts about yourself to what God says about you. And that's easier said than done. If you guys want to talk about that on a more intimate level, you know, message me. Respond in the comments, send me, if you have my number, text me. If you don't, I'm not giving it to you, but reach out on social media and I'll find a way to contact you, because, my greatest aspiration and greatest joy is for people to be able to live beyond, the limitations of I'm not good enough. I want to help you get out of that. I want to help you. I want to help debunk that lie and help you walk in the fullness of God's power. I want to help you do that. I'm doing it, and I'm attracting things in my life. Phenomenal, man. I love it. I love it. And I want y'all to be able to experience the same thing that I'm experiencing. So with that being said, man, I just want to tell you guys that I love you. Look out next week for another podcast. You know, I'm super excited to be back and to share the Word of God with you in a way that I've never been able to do it before. These podcasts are going to get more powerful. They're going to get stronger. I would be surprised if I don't start getting more messages about what these podcasts will be doing in others' lives. So, again, rewind it back if you want to, man. Soak this in, take notes, and apply what I just said. Here are the definitions of what I broke down in those verses, because as you understand those, enlightenment happens. And so then you begin to challenge how you think. You begin to challenge, is your faith genuine, or are you serving God based upon how somebody else says you should do it, man? So, you know, again, read that letter, First Timothy chapter 1, read it. Very, very strong letter. But I love you guys. I hope you guys have a blessed, terrific, and wonderful day. I'll catch y'all next week. Peace.